Hey everybody, Jay Schlansky here from the Fifth Trooper Network. I just want to take a moment to thank you for checking out this show. Did you know that over at thefifthtrooper.com we have tons of other content, including blogs, other podcasts, all kinds of stuff. In addition, if you want access to exclusive content, you can join us on patreon.com/thefifthtrooper and join at any level and you'll get access to exclusive blog articles, access to our private Discord, and much more. So please check us out and thank you so much for all your support.
Welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels, a Star Wars Legion podcast bringing you the latest news, general perspective, and competitive discussion.
Hello, and welcome back to the Notorious Scoundrels podcast. I'm Kyle. I'm here with Mike.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. Glorious Monday. It's a pretty laid back weekend, so ready to talk some Star Wars Legion. How about you?
Yeah. I'm very excited. So it is Monday as we're recording this. So I will caveat this with if we get extra spoilers after today, Monday, April 1st, that we will not be talking about them. But we do have some actual spoilers to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
We have some stuff that was publicly spoiled, and we also have some leakish stuff to talk about. So we're going to do that. Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm super excited. Republic just seems like, look, it's been the time of Empire Christmas Land, I think, for a bit now. And I don't know, Bad Batch, Commandos, and some of this other stuff just seems like pretty swell. I'm all about it.
I'm very excited. All right. So how about we dive right in?
Okay, let's do it.
All right. So the first thing, this was in an article. We got to see the weapon config for the Commandos.
Mm-hmm.
The missing piece, the thing that when Commandos were previewed, people were like, well, these guys look pretty good, but we kind of need to know what that armament does.
I mean, okay. They were like pretty fine, I think, before we saw the armament card here.
They were definitely like in the usable category.
Yes, they were definitely not in the bad category.
Right.
But these guys throw 4 red dice at range 4.
With high velocity.
With high velocity, lethal, and infiltrate. And target.
Yeah. I will say, all right, so let's actually just talk about, might as well read through the actual text in this card.
Yeah, yeah.
So the card, the side of the config that you're probably going to be mostly using is the DC-17M ICWS sniper config. It's not clear to me how this swaps from a grenade launcher to a sniper rifle, technologically speaking, but this is space, fake space tech, so we're just going to roll with it. Range 3 to 4, red dice. It is exhaust, which is relevant. We'll talk about that in a minute. At the start of this unit's activation, it may flip this card, even if it is exhausted, which means you can flip it to the other side for free. I think that it stays exhausted.
I would be surprised if it didn't, but I think that there is a non-zero chance that it may flip to ready.
I've been surprised by enough rules interactions where we've been like, clearly it's not supposed to work like this. And they're like, it works like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not prepared to like assume anything there, but it seems like if you flip it, it should flip and still be exhausted when you flip it.
Yeah, I think the only other cards that we have that auto flip are the Force Pike and the Battle Shield.
Yep, and neither of those exhaust.
And so. Neither of them exhaust. So yeah, we don't really have a ton of clarity. And notably, I looked at the text for like reconfigure and stuff. It's not actually helpful to figure that out.
It's really not. I think if I were to work on what they have currently in the CRB and on this card, I would say that it stays exhausted when you flip it, but not taking anything for granted in that respect. It definitely would be better if like an even better weapon if when it flipped back to ready, because that effectively means it would have like cycle.
Yep.
Because on a turn where you didn't want to use one side, you could flip it to the other side. It would be ready. You know, you could either use it on that side or just not use it. And then it would, you just flip it back to the other side after that turn. So, but anyway, let's get to the rest of this. So 3 to 4 red dice exhaust. Well, one or more of these weapons is in an attack pool. That attack pool gains lethal one. I'm glad they didn't just put lethal one on this card.
I mean, I think for most intents and purposes, like, they would be the same thing. Like, obviously, if you could, like, stack lethal to four and spend 4 aim tokens to get, like, a 4 red die pierce 4 shot, like, that would obviously be very good. But I'm not sure that's, like, a really great mode for spending your aim tokens in mass.
I mean, yeah, 4 would probably be overkill. I could see, and these guys could easily get access to 2 aim tokens, right? They have target, they've got one token sharing, they have exemplar potentially. So it's even spending like 2 on an attack for lethal, you know, 4 red dice attack with pierce 2, that'd be really good. But pierce 1 is still obviously
it's most the way there, right? Yeah. Like,
it's diminishing returns. When you
start. I mean, depending on what you're shooting at, but
sure,
yeah.
Anyway, this is really good. This is not, Republic does not have like a proper, you know, yes, the saber can take the shells, but they don't have a real like high velocity weapon before this.
No, and honestly, like, clone commandos are looking at death troopers and being like, yeah, let's tango.
Yeah, I mean, let's go over what we already know about them, right? So it's a 4-model unit. They have target natively, which means they get a free aim when they get an order. They natively have recharge and shield at 1, which means they have a shield token, which they can flip to cancel a hit. And then when they recover, which it seems like they're going to be doing a lot of since their primary weapon is an exhaust weapon, they flip the shield token back over and they can use it again.
Yeah, and I think that's actually, given that they have a good range weapon beyond range 3, I actually think the shield token turns into a much bigger deal when we talk about, like, you know, one of the ways to, like, deal with them at significant range is going to be snipers. But because they have a shield, like, cover is going to take 1 hit and the shield's going to take whatever's left, right? And then they're just going to recover it and get it back.
Yeah, and this is arguably even better than low profile, which the Civil War era snipers have, because shields work against crits.
Yes. And it's, I don't think it's arguably better. I think it is just strictly better.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not able to recover consistently, then I think it's worse probably. But they also have, they don't have any sort of pierce mitigation explicitly beyond the shield, right? They don't have impervious, they don't have pierce immunity or anything like that, which I think is fine. They'd be way too good with it.
I'd argue that the Gatarn pattern armor is sort of a mitigation, but sure.
Yes, and that's the other thing. We've obviously seen it here. It's on this slide, but basically when they would be assigned more than 1 wound, you can expend the card, and then they only get assigned 1 wound. Notably, this is after you use defense dice.
Because you don't know how many wounds you have to assign until then.
Right. But this is... makes it impossible to kill them in one shot.
Yeah, and I think there's a world where, like, I don't know, maybe you blow this and then, like, put him, you know, take your one dude and then just, like, put him back with a medic. Like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see this one play out on the table. The Katarn pattern armor seems real good. I think of these three, like, upgrade cards, obviously the Conflicts flip, the range 2 one that we haven't really talked about is probably the worst.
Yeah, although it is interesting, let's talk about it real quick, and then I do want to get back to the armor because it speaks broadly to I think how you can use these guys. But the other side, the grenade launcher, I guess this is technically the anti-armor side of the config.
I don't know, the keywords are not screaming anti-armor to me, but
well, it's impact 1. And each of these guys has 1, so it's really impact 4.
That's fair.
Which is that's a high impact value.
Yeah, that's fair.
It also has scatter, and it has 2 black dice. So that's 8 black dice. That's a strong dice pool.
It's definitely a good pool. I think they normally throw black white.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. It's like a basically you're increasing your average hit at range two by one if you've got this loaded. I guess by two, right?
Yeah.
Because
it could be.
No, it's one because it's four white dice upgraded to four black dice. So you're getting united sure. plus two on those, yeah.
It's also a much more reliable pool with the blacks in there instead of the whites.
For sure, but I actually think the scatter is super interesting.
Yes.
Just in that Republic really has not had access to this keyword, and Republic is also the faction that, at least at the moment, is running the most things with Force Push. And the fact that you can maybe like scatter things and not having to like really commit your Anakin because they're, you know, 4 inches closer to you or whatever because you scattered their guys out might be a really big deal.
Yeah, or just scattering something into the open that you can shoot.
For sure.
You know, Republic, other than ARC Troopers, doesn't really have a lot of things that explicitly strip or mitigate cover. Obviously, they have access to some critical and they can fire support. Which it's like, okay, reduce your
Yoda's saves from 10 to 8. Thing.
Right, because his ranged attack has blast on it.
Yeah.
But this is like a way to potentially give her units open shots on a unit that only costs 75 points to enable that.
I don't know how this unit costs 75 points. I just like... There's clearly an arms race going on. I don't know, like, what... I mean, this is not a 100-point unit. It's, like, definitely not. But, like, it's definitely... And it's probably shouldn't be as expensive as, like, an ARC Trooper unit. But 70... It's cheaper than a Phase 1 DC-15 squad. I don't know. Like...
Yeah. And that Phase 1 DC-15 squad has one more wound, but... Lower courage, much less durability because they don't have the shields or the Katarn pattern armor. And, you know, at range 4+, it's only 2 dice.
And this unit effectively surges to block with complete the mission, like on defense. Like they're rolling Mando's Ace for the most part, minus Impervious. And, I don't know.
I mean, they're really cheap for what they do. There are some real drawbacks here. The biggest one is the fact that the config does have to recover. So, and they're going to want that aim token to proc lethal.
Yes.
And also potentially a second one to reroll dice. On 4 dice, even if you assume that they're going to have basically a critical 2 because of the complete the mission, which I think they probably should most of the time because you want to run these guys in 3s and that gives you 3 tokens to drop. So then you just put like 2 tokens basically where your opponent needs to go and then 1 token where all your commanders are going to go. Even if you assume that they have critical 2, which sometimes they're not going to, you still get at least 1 blank on 4 red dice like 40-something% of the time.
Yeah, I think the thing is if you're able to give orders to all 3 of them every turn and they're like relatively close to each other, and by relatively close, I mean sharing distance, like...
Yeah.
You just always have 2 aim tokens, like, because you've got 1 from target and 1 from sharing just naturally at the start of the turn, right?
On your first unit, and maybe you don't need to spend one of those extra aims on rerolls.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. Like you're rolling all red dice at that point. Like you're probably not going to need all 3 for rerolls, likely.
I do think getting all 3 of them orders is going to be fairly difficult to do consistently unless you're taking HQ uplink, which makes them 85 points.
Yeah, but might be reasonable.
It might be.
To be honest, like you recover, you get back the uplink, you trigger target every time they get an order, you get your shields back every time they get an order, and they recover the config every time. You know, I don't know. It just seems it's certainly value for your 10 points. Because you're going to be recovering anyways.
It's definitely like the most value I can think of out of an uplink.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, like a B1 unit in a B1 horde that doesn't have access to direct kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest thing that's appealing to these guys is that they are 75 points. So I'd rather, personally, I'm looking at stuff with fives. I know fives is like, people are like, oh, he's so expensive. He is expensive. He's 40 points, but he gives you an extra face up, which you can pass to a clone unit. And obviously you're running a clone commander alongside this, which you want anyway, because you want that core token face up to fire support these guys.
Oh, totally. Just the four red dice fire supported by an RPS at range four is really good.
Yeah, and then if you can get anything at range three, like a Z6 or a DC15 pool or whatever, any of those things, that's gross.
Yeah.
So you want that clone commander anyway, and then fives, he's, if you put him in a phase two, he's 13 more points than a Z6. If you put him in a phase one, he's 18 more points than a Z6, but he gives him an extra courage. He's got his own heavy weapon profile, which is decent, and he's got an extra wound. So I don't know. I'm considering it. I like it. The thing that I don't like about an uplink is it doesn't actually add any beef to anything, which I feel like,
sure.
You know, I mean, three uplinks is the same cost as two medics, which add bodies and they add, you know, bring back wounds to these guys, which I think are going to need at least a medic or two. So
yeah, I mean, you can build a really scary, like, high activation Republic, like, range four plus gun line with these guys. Like, you can take like three of these, and then you can take like three strike teams, and all of a sudden you're only at like 400 points at that point, just so we're clear. like you have half your list left.
Yeah, you can get to, I think, basically 11 activations doing that.
I've built 11 activation lists without the strike teams with these guys. Yeah, I don't know. They're definitely going to open up, I think, Republic list building a bit. At least I think that's the plus side to these guys for sure.
Yeah, I'm a little bit on the fence on that. I feel like they definitely allow Republic to kind of just like drop the force user, in my opinion, and go for more high activation list. I do think that, in my opinion, every Republic list needs to start with three of these guys. And the reason I'm saying that is twofold. And I felt similar about like Ion Spiders when they first came out, when they were 15 points cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
The first is, and this is, these are both related. Basically, they give Republic a tool that they never had before. A very good and important tool, which is high velocity. That tool is a direct counter to the previous, like, popular and effective archetype that Republic was running, which is dodge spam. And thirdly, that tool is accessible for relatively cheap.
Well, it's not relatively cheap. We're printing money here, guys. Like, this is
okay.
I'm trying, like, free.
I'm trying not to be hyperbolic here, Mike.
I understand, but that's what I'm here for.
Okay, yeah. My point is, not only do they like directly counter the current best thing that Republic is doing, but they're also just like really good and efficient. So it feels similar to like Ion Spiders to me, where if you were a droid player and you were not taking Ion Spiders and you went up against another droid player who had Ion Spiders, you were just hosed. And I think if you're trying to run any sort of like Republic dodge spam or anything and you don't take these guys and then you run up against a list with these guys in it, you're going to be in real trouble.
Yeah, I think that's almost certainly true. I guess like what I'm not sure about is like whether these guys are able to like break the EXD barrier. Is my main thing. Like, if they're not good enough to do that, you've got to take lists that can at least have a chance to beat EXD, I think. And if these guys aren't it, then they might not be the thing that is super scary, so people might not take them, and then I you know, like, that whole kind of argument breaks down a little bit. But
sure, but if you're making a Republic list and these guys aren't it, then what is it? Because EXD currently shreds basically most Republic lists right now.
If it's not the, I mean, it's definitely like if these guys aren't the answer, it will be Bad Batch. If one of them will, the answers don't exist right now. So if there will be an answer in Republic, like it's going to be one of those two things.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of my point, right?
Yeah.
Is if you're taking these guys, if you're running Republic, you're taking these guys because you absolutely need them in the mirror. If they're not good enough to solve the problem that is Republic getting shredded by experimental droids, then you're just going to not run Republic, frankly.
Yeah, likely. Or you're going to be really upset for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think these could change the experimental droids equation a little bit in that they're not going to be great with just the range 4 pool into the BX droids, because BX droids have shields, which are like a direct counter to what this pool is, basically. But they're going to be pretty great into the white save parts of that faction, which are important to kill, because those are the things that have the repair bots on them. And if you can ever get like a fire support into a BX droid that's started by these guys, that's going to be pretty big.
So I actually think the biggest reason that they could be good against EXT is neither of those things. Okay. I actually think the thing that they bring to the table that is the most important in that matchup is that they give you the opportunity to go last.
Because you can get to 9 or more activations. Because
you can get to 9 or more activations. Yeah. And that's a big swing on tempo. Like if you can actually like go last, shoot a BX droid, and then go first and shoot it again before like it has like they have a chance to like repair it or something, I actually think that you can set up like a really big tempo swing that they might not be able to handle. But like in current EXT versus Republic matchups, that's not really a thing, because you're pretty much at 8 with all the force users for the most part, and they're generally sitting at 9. And if all of a sudden you're sitting at like 9 to 11, and maybe you can go twice after them if you've got enough activations, like all of a sudden there's stuff that like does have to eventually get to range 3 of you to do damage, has to be, they've got to put it somewhere dangerous to actually take the good shots. And in that matchup, like you can probably use one of these guys to take down the shields before they like move into that position, because I mean, like they will reliably bring the shields down.
Yeah. And that does sort of like pin the BX droids in place. Obviously they have the 3-pip, which recovers the shields, but if BX droids need to take recover actions, then they're likely not moving, or they're not shooting, one of those two things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and either of those is a good situation for you. So maybe the fact that you can sort of like automatically bring the shields down at range 4 is helpful with these guys. But we'll see. I'm not convinced that it helps. I am convinced that you're going to really need these in the Republic mirror.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good.
Yeah. They're going to require some support. I think that some people are going to just like splash them in there as a cheap unit, cheapish unit, and kind of hope for the best, and it's not going to work out that well. They need aims, and or they need face ups, and they probably need like a medic or two also.
I sort of disagree. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like taking 3 of them is definitely like the optimal use case, but like if you want to just like upgrade your Echo into a clone commando squad for 9 points, like I don't think that's unreasonable.
Sure. And if you only have one, then it makes it so that it's easier to make sure that they have an aim, right? Particularly via sharing, because there's less demand there.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that if you're taking less than 3, it makes the complete the mission a lot harder to consistently proc.
Oh, it definitely does. And that's
particularly
sort of
on offense.
Yes. Yeah. Because you definitely want like one zone of control for making sure you're always on search to block with these guys. Because like at the end of the day, they're a 4 model squad. You don't want to be rolling 50%ers, even with the Katarn pattern armor.
Yeah, I think it's best tactically speaking to kind of view these guys as like a strike team.
Yeah.
Really, like a 4-man strike team. You know, they definitely have some tools to be a little bit more durable than your typical strike team, but they also, you know, other sniper strike teams can operate at range 5. These guys have to operate at range 4, which is still like further than most units can bring their full pool to bear, but it's also a more dangerous range than range 5. And they're going to be vulnerable to pierce. You know, like a BX droid sniper shot with the extra 2 dice from the surge mechanic in EXD, if they get an aim from somewhere, you know, that's probably going to remove a model even with their shields.
Yeah, so likely.
And if BX droids are plinking you like that at range 5, you're gonna be down to like 2 models pretty quickly. The Katarn pattern armor doesn't really help you there. So
no, it does not.
So yeah, in my opinion, I think you're gonna want some medics. I think, amusingly enough, if I'm trying to think about how to handle the commandos in the mirror, the one tool again that stands out to me is Obi-Wan.
Yeah, no, he gets around the Katarn battered armor thing real nicely.
Yeah, with deflect, he also gets around the whole no dodges thing because of how Serasu works.
Actually, that's interesting. When this unit would be assigned more than one wound from a non-melee attack, you may expend this card, assign this unit one wound instead. That suggests to me that if you got Serasu'd from multiple models, you could blow that card to only take one, right? Or deflect in general, right?
Yeah, I mean, that clearly, in my opinion, this should say from a ranged attack. Non-melee attack is weird language. I guess maybe they're trying to account for like overrun there.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It seems to imply that it has to still be an attack, which deflect is not. But at least if you're reading this literally,
yeah,
which is what you know should do with rules text when you see it.
Yeah,
like this covers basically any source of wounds that is not a melee attack.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be like things that are attacks, you know, attacks that are not melee attacks, basically.
Sure.
But that's not how it literally means.
Well, that wasn't even what I was thinking. I was just thinking that like they're technically assigned wounds like during the attack from deflect and gem and like all those other sources. Like that happens during the attack. It's not like it happens after, right?
It does. But you know, at least in the case of deflect, I think you could argue it's not from the attack. Anyway, this is going to require some kind of form of
sure. A new card requiring a form. We're like, what?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Obi-Wan, right? He protects against the high velocity. He protects against their lethal.
Yep.
And he can deflect wounds back to them. So
also protects against the critical.
Yes, with Protector. Yeah, so that's interesting to me. And yeah, I was making it earlier. You can actually make like a 9 activation Obi-Wan triple commando Padme list.
Yeah, it turns out when all of a sudden we're like, oh man, we're paying 97 points for full arcs. And then you're like, yeah, you can kind of have like a similar thing for 75. and it's like the range 3 pools basically like pretty similar. And the range 4 pool is just obviously better. Like, yeah, okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take my 22 point per unit rebate.
Yeah, across 3 units, that's the cost of an Echo Strike.
Yes, it is.
Although once Bad Batch comes out, I think that is going to be the end of the Echo Strike because you can't take Echo twice. But
well, I mean, in fairness, we don't know that yet, but it seems likely. Yeah, because we haven't actually seen the Echo card, but
that's true. I assume that it says Echo.
It's still got to have a dot on it, right?
Yes, but we've already seen this with like the Darksaber and stuff, where you have an upgrade that is,
yeah,
you know, on different units in different places, and it still has that dot. Now, currently, of course, you can't take the Darksaber on any of the units. None of the units that can take the Darksaber are in the same faction, right? It's 3 different Darksabers in 3 different factions. But so that's not like currently a problem, even though, you know, it would be, but it will be when Echo is a thing in Bad Batch. That's going to be something that I think is going to be clear how it's supposed to work, but it's something to think about.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious that that's not a thing. But again, going back to my previous comment about paying 9 points to upgrade your Echo Strike team to a full commando, like that, that gets a lot more enticing when you'd like to also take Bad Batch, right?
Right. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal if you could just replacing Echo with a clone commando unit. So, yeah. I do want to say, as cool as these guys look, and as nice it is as it is for Republic to have some access to tools that it didn't have before, I'm a little bit sad that both these guys and the range troopers are basically like static range 4 units. Because I think there's been a feeling that Legion has gotten kind of static, and it definitely has, at least more than it used to be. Like, movement is just not as important as it used to be.
I'm not sure I agree with that statement. In that, like, the best list right now is extremely movement based.
You
in EXD, yeah. Like, the whole reason that list is good is because it can move. One of the reasons that it is good, I guess I should say, is because it can move so fast.
Yeah, but it's. I don't mean necessarily about the raw distance you can move. I mean things like. Maybe I'm thinking about like lateral movement with respect to cover.
Sure.
Obviously, movement is still relevant with respect to scoring objectives, and the fact that EXD can do it in such a, like, hyperbolic manner, I think, highlights that. But I definitely think in general the game has just become more about gun lines and become more static.
It definitely, yes, I agree with that take, in that the game is definitely moving more and more towards what I've kind of been calling like hyper efficiency lists. Like, we're getting away from units that do like tricksy things, or even units that are just like hardy and good. We're getting into like some really crazy ranged efficiency stuff that we've like sort of seen shades of before, but I think, you know, the Republic gun lines and the Pike gun lines were like sort of felt like stage one, and EXD feels like stage two, and range troopers and clone commandos feel like they're just sort of like arms racing that up to 11. And
yeah, I guess that's kind of my point, is like the last thing I wanted to see in new units was things that are even better at shooting things from long range, and that's what these are. And particularly, like, if you look at clone commandos, right, their range 4 gun is an expend, which means that they're going to be in the same spot, and the fact that they have tokens that don't move around also means that, like, you're incentivizing the clone player to drop all three of these guys in one spot and sit there and recover shoot all game.
Yes, that's definitely. I mean, I do think that it will be. The range two pools are definitely good enough to incentivize them, I think, to move around once towards like the end of the game.
Potentially. Yeah.
You know, I do think that this unit is going to be incredibly gross and busted feeling, like rolling up onto like a KP or a breakthrough sort of situation where your opponent's like, oh, yeah, I kind of have to like move and like kill your units to win, but you still have Katarn pattern armor up. I can't actually kill your units. You know, like,
yeah, if you've got some even like reduced strength clone commando squads going into turn 5/6 and your Katarn pattern armor is still up, that's going to be a real problem for your opponent. It's a guaranteed effect, right? It works 100% of the time. So if you have two models left in your unit and you've still got your Katarn pattern armor up, the only way to kill that unit in one attack is going to be to melee it. Otherwise, you're guaranteed, it's going to be guaranteed that you have to spend two attacks on that unit. And like going into the closing turns of a game, each attack that you can make is extremely precious, typically.
Yeah, at least two, right? Like
At least two, right?
we've got to remember that like at the end of the day, like they still have surging red saves most of the time. Like
Yes.
sometimes your attacks are gonna bounce, you know?
Right.
so particularly in the end stages of a game where you're trying to throw small dice pools a lot of the time into deteriorated units. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
They're super good. I'm not convinced that they're going to be like the saviors of the Republic faction, but it's definitely a very efficient unit that is going to be taken a lot in threes, in the same way that ARC Troopers ARC Strikes were when they first came out. So, all right, should we move on to the?
Yeah,
I
the other spoilers are
hesitate.
so
Yeah, I
cool.
hesitate to say more exciting, but it is kind of more exciting.
I will say that I think out of all the spoilers we're gonna go over today, this unit's the most busted.
The commandos.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. More Republic stuff.
Yeah, man. I was
Qui-Gon Jinn.
super pumped about this.
You
Yeah.
want to read this for us?
Yeah, sure. So he's 165 points. He's the Maverick Jedi Master. He's an operative. Finally, Republic's getting some more operatives. We've got Bad Batch. Now we've got Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
Whew. Two force slots, a training slot, a gear slot. He's got jump one, Ataru Mastery, immune to Pierce, independent dodge one and surge one, master of the force one, and his lightsaber actually kind of sucks. It's just red, triple black and white, and he doesn't even surge crit. Like
Yeah, it's not great. And I mean, he does have a Taru, so you can attack twice.
oh, that's
But
fair, that's fair. Yeah, but he doesn't have charge. Except I mean, we'll get to his command cards in a second.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah,
know.
and it's five dice twice. So once you're in there, it could be
Yeah,
fine.
I guess once
But
he's in there, it's okay.
yeah, the fact that he doesn't surge or anything, that's not great. I mean, at least Obi-Wan has like critical too, right?
Yeah, I mean, he does have Surge 1, independent Surge 1, so like,
But that's if he doesn't have an order,
yeah.
which is generally bad for force users.
I do think it's interesting that he might be like, if triggering independent on him is good, like you might want to just like take battle med on him and just like give his order away every time. But you probably won't want to do that.
Yeah, probably not. But two of his cards kind of force you to do that. Should we talk about the command cards here?
Sure. So his one pip is loose cannon. It gives orders to no units and places an order token face down on the card. You may look at this token at any time. When you would draw an order token from the order pool, you may use the order token on this card instead. This token is used to activate Qui-Gon Jinn. He gains charge and may use one of his force upgrade cards without exhausting it.
So this is basically ploy plus charge plus using a force upgrade without exhausting it.
Yeah, and you get
Which,
to attack twice because of Ataru, like,
right, yeah.
yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, proxy independence still give you order control. The thing about using force upgrade cards without exhausting them almost feels like a nod towards inquisitorial training.
It does. It's like get wrecked
Yeah.
because you have to exhaust the card in order to for training to proc, right?
I don't remember the exact language on it. I think that it says something to the effect of if you use it, it still gets exhausted. But that, yeah, it could be that it only works on exhausted. It could say something like when somebody exhausts a force upgrade.
Let's take a look. If
Okay.
Qui-Gon Jinn, the new Imperial Inquisitor meta breaker here.
The only force user that it's immune to the special powers of Inquisitors.
I'm sorry, but if there was a force user that should be immune to that, it's Qui-Gon Jinn, right? Like, when a unit
I'd
at
argue, yeah,
range
though,
one
but
exhausts a force upgrade, so
there
yeah,
you
this
go.
does get around it.
All right,
So.
there you go. The only one that can force push an Inquisitor. All
Get wrecked.
right, keep it.
Jedi ambassadors, Qui-Gon Jinn and one trooper unit. Qui-Gon Jinn gains authoritative. While a trooper unit is at range one of a friendly Qui-Gon Jinn, they cannot remove suppression tokens or be suppressed during their activation. So kind of like a old school complete the mission sort of feel, along with he's got like authoritative to trigger like some fire supports or something.
And trigger independent. I mean, this is basically Maul's Shadow Collective Maul's 2-pip, right?
Yes.
Do almost the same thing.
I think it's a very similar effect, yeah.
Yeah, other than authoritative, obviously. But yeah, it's neat.
Mm-hmm. I dig it. I dig it.
Allows you to run some phase ones maybe with a little more confidence.
Yeah, phase ones suck so bad, man. Like,
you know what? I take issue with that point because...
Go ahead.
Yes, they are bad naked when you don't have enough face-ups to use them for fire supports. But sure, they have a ton of great upgrade options that make them not bad. Right, like you can give them captains, which lots of people do. Their heavies are great, between the Z6 and the DC15. Even the RPS is really solid. I would argue they're the most versatile core unit in the game.
More than pikes.
Okay, that's fair. They're the most versatile, not pike core unit in the game.
It's okay. I mean, in fairness, I think pikes might be dead with clone commandos like being a thing.
Oh yeah, clone commandos are real mean to pikes.
Like, yo, I hear you like dodge tokens.
How would you like to be just a rebel trooper defensively?
Yeah, get wrecked.
Yeah, not even just a rebel trooper, just the Geonosian, basically.
No.
Yeah. All right, 3-pip.
Yep, mindful of the living force. It only gives an order to Qui-Gon Jinn, and I really like this one. Qui-Gon Jinn gains free action guidance. When a non-droid trooper unit spends a green token, place a matching token on this card. Friendly units with a force upgrade card slot may spend green tokens on this card. It doesn't, so like you can, it takes you the tokens you spend, and it also takes tokens that your opponent spends, as long as they're not droid troopers, and puts them on the card, and then all your force users can use them, which I think is really cool if you're like trying to, like, because Qui-Gon's an operative, you could do like Anakin, Kenobi, Qui-Gon if you wanted to, in like some like alternate dimension, you know.
There'd be a lot of points, but yeah.
Hey, man. You gotta live the dream.
It's possible, yeah. And this would give you a lot of green tokens to fuel that awesomeness.
Totally. So I'm all about it.
It's a really cool effect.
Yeah. Overall, seems pretty cool. You know, it is points cost. Is he gonna be taken over like Anakin or Kenobi?
The fact that he doesn't just like natively have charge, I think, is kind of a problem.
Probably, but. I mean, overall, relatively balanced, I think, which is nice.
Yeah. Very, very, like, I don't want to say generic, but a much more, like, traditional, like, just kind of jack-of-all-trades force user, which Republic doesn't really have, so.
Yeah. And, it, you know, doesn't really share tokens, so you can kind of afford to maybe get aggressive.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of like Commander Luke.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
As far as a role is concerned, yeah. All right, next we have my slide deck not working. There we go. Kanan Jarrus, another Force user.
Here we go. They're like, man, we're going to give you Inquisitors, and then we're going to give you all the things that they counter.
yeah. All the things that you just really don't want to play if Inquisitors are around anyway.
Yeah.
All right. You want to read this bad boy?
Yeah, let's do it. So Kanan Jarrus has two force slots, training and a gear, very similar to what we saw in Qui-Gon. He's got jump one, deflect, immune pierce, and independent dodge one. They're really taking an independent kind of skew here. However, Kanan apparently is much better with lightsabers than his friend Qui-Gon, because he surges to crit. And he's actually got a pretty good lightsaber pool. It's 2 red, 4 black, impact 2, pierce 2. And he's also been blessed with a Luke-style blaster pistol attack at range 2 with pierce 1. two black and two white.
That's a really good lightsaber pool. That's not just a pretty good lightsaber pool.
It's like, yeah. It's like it's like better than the Darksaber plus Tenacity on Maul, right? I think. Or is that Darksaber six dice? I don't remember.
No, it is six dice.
Okay.
But it's, you know, I'd say it's comparable to like Anakin or Dooku.
Yeah, for sure. So
just to say that it's good.
Yeah. Again, no charge or relentless. So, and no Master of the Force. You know, Kanan, I guess, is kind of like a lesser Jedi. So I guess
he didn't finish his training. You know.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what happened there. I'm not sure. did the Inquisitor show up?
He's actually in a Bad Batch episode as Caleb.
Yeah, and one of the very, I think like the first Bad Batch episode. It's like,
yeah. So you actually see, I don't think it was Inquisitors. It was just Order 66.
Oh yeah, situation. It was totally, you know, yeah. Spoilers. His master doesn't really make it out of that one.
Nope. But he does.
Indeed.
Yeah. Caleb Dune, right? That's his actual name?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he seems good. Should we look at these command cards?
Yeah, totally. So his one pip is never truly blind, which the theme of this card just like really it gets me going. Kanan, it just gives an order to Kanan Jarrus, and while Kanan Jarrus is wounded, he gains charge, and when you target a unit for a melee attack, that unit gains 6 observation tokens as if he can like see them with the Force, which I think is really, really quite cool.
Yeah, and presumably other units could also take advantage of that if he doesn't need all 6 of them, which he probably won't. So.
Yeah, and like if you don't kill it, you just like Force push it out of melee with you, and all of a sudden like your ranged units can shoot it with the observation tokens or whatever, which... Yeah, I don't know. Very cool.
Yeah, the fact that he doesn't like normally have charge, again, a little bit annoying, but at least it's on this one.
Yep, absolutely. This 2-pip is spicy because we really don't have all the information.
Yeah, there's a key piece missing on this one.
Yes, right? There is. So it's I'll be right behind you, and it gives orders to Kanan Jarrus and Ezra Bridger. And sorry, show's over. We don't have an Ezra Bridger spoiler here. I don't know. We'll see what that looks like. But Kanan Jarrus gains teamwork Ezra Bridger. While at range 1 to 2 of each other, Ezra Bridger and Kanan Jarrus gain charge.
Well, there you go. Charge again on another card. So, yep.
And we can deduce here that Ezra also doesn't have charge based on this card text.
Yes. It seems to be a thing. I'm noticing a theme.
Yep. So.
All right, 3-pip.
Yep. Kanan Jarrus, Jedi Knight. It gives orders to 3 troopers. Kanan Jarrus gains Guardian 2 and Serasu Mastery. Units with face up order tokens may skip their rally step. And yeah, I don't know. Serasu and Guardian 2 and Rebels is a pretty big deal, I feel like.
Yeah. In a white save army?
Yeah.
Also very thematic for Kanan.
Yeah, for sure. Very defensive, like helps his buddies. I think Kanan's pretty good. Feels very Luke without charge, which is to say I'm not sure he's gonna quite get there, but we'll see.
Yeah. I'm disappointed too. There's not like a K2 style sacrifice card here, given that that's Kanan's like
that's sort of
spoiler alert, but
if you haven't seen Rebels, get out.
Yeah, I feel like there's a what's the word I'm looking for? Like it's far enough in the past that you don't have to.
The amount, so I will say one thing I don't really get is that it seems like in all of the like Star Wars games that we've seen recently, like people have like really, really want the Spectres like more than other stuff, and I don't really get it. Like I get they're cool, but like I don't think they're like that much cooler than anything else. But it seems like there's just like a very heavy emphasis on the Spectre units. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's they're much more of like a team than a lot of other, you know, Star Wars tends to focus on like individual stories, and it's one of the few like shows that kind of focuses on a consistent like cohesive team with a bunch of different type of characters in it.
Sure.
So I get it.
It's like a D&D party.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, most of the other Star Wars shows focus on like individual characters, and there are like side characters in those, right?
Yeah.
But you know, it's still like The Mandalorian, right? That show's about Din Djarin and yeah, Kenobi, right? Ahsoka. Whereas Rebels is it's about the Spectres collectively instead of anyone, you know. Clearly Ezra's kind of the protagonist there. But each of the Spectres is like an interesting character in their own right, and they're a cohesive team in a way that you don't really see very often in Star Wars. So
that's fair. I dig it.
Anyway. All right. Next we have the probe droid. The Imperial probe droid.
It's about time.
It is about freaking time.
Like, man. Yeah, I don't understand why this hasn't been in the game already. This seems like we did like Blizzard Force, we did all the stuff. Like, how do we not have probe droids? So Viper probe droid, 60 points. It has 2 comm upgrade slots. That's it. So I guess maybe if you want to jam their comms with your Viper probe droid, like we saw in Empire Strikes Back, that's an option you have. It is a droid trooper, so kind of like immune to suppression mechanics, which is important because it's got a courage value of 1.
Yeah.
And then it has action, observe 4, pretty thematic, self-destruct. If it has at least 1 wound token, it can self-destruct. And its self-destruct is red, double black, double white, blast, and suppressive.
Pretty good.
It is, yeah. It's got hover air, and it also has infiltrate for anybody that's really trying to get that self-destructive trigger. What would be sort of fun here, I think, is if you like infiltrate your Viper probe droids and then you gave them new ways to motivate them, took the wound and then just blew them up in the enemy's army. I think that would be really good.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
And you can triple move them too to do it.
You totally can.
That seems well worth 60 points.
Yes. Yeah. I'll take a bunch of these for that for sure. And you can even uplink them so that you can get it on extra G's.
So you can do the maximum. You can do 3 of them basically.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yep.
They also have observed 4 if you don't feel like using them as suicide bombs.
Yep.
Which is also pretty good.
Totally.
All right. Here we go. I know everybody's been waiting for. I certainly have been waiting for this unit. Jar Jar Binks.
Hey, I mean, they were talking about Gungans on stream, and here we are. You know, a couple of weeks later. I guess it's really not even a couple of weeks. It was like last week, right? Yeah. The first Gungan spoiler.
Yep. Here we go, and it's fitting that it should be the senatorial representative of Naboo. Himself.
Yeah. So he's 55 points. He's only got 1 upgrade slot. It is the grenade upgrade slot, which, you know, I'm sure that he's probably got like some, what do they call them, Boombas or whatever.
Kind of special grenade.
He's got free action distract, which I think we've seen on R2 and C-3PO. Yeah. And then he's got a new keyword, clumsy 3. While attacking or defender, the attacker must reroll 3 attack dice that show hits if able.
This seems really annoying compared with distract, actually.
Yeah. Notably, he has to reroll his own attack dice. It seems as well.
Yeah, his attack is called Wild Flailing, and it is 5 white dice.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's suppressive.
Yep. So at least you'll always get the suppression token, I guess. But
yeah.
And he's got flawed, so he's got a flaw card, which we'll get to in a second. And he's got partnership, which is a new keyword, which is could be very good. After you deploy, choose another unique trooper unit. That unit gains teamwork Jar Jar Binks. So you can kind of turn him into like a R2-D2 or Padme, but for like one unit. I guess you could do this with Padme, and that would be really good.
Yeah, because then it's not just one unit's token factory, it's everybody's token
It's
factory.
everybody's token factory. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
That's what Republic needs, more access to executive
more
tokens.
tokens, man. But it thematically makes sense, right? He's the senatorial representative of Naboo. She's the senator from Naboo, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
So we've got a flaw card here, unintended consequences. You may play this card at the start of the command phase if there's at least one Jar Jar Binks command card in your opponent's discard pile. Each friendly unit at range 1 to 3 of an enemy Jar Jar Binks gains 1 aim or 1 dodge token.
That is a really bad flaw card,
Yeah.
as far as like bad for the Jar Jar player.
Yeah. It's
That's a lot of
like,
free tokens potentially.
yeah. I mean, I guess you could keep your Jar Jar like way away from everybody, maybe. I don't know. But he
Or
only
just
had.
not use his command cards.
That's also true. That's also true. I guess let's take a look at his command cards and see if they're worth taking.
Yeah.
So his one pip is but Miza doing nothing. And it's just Jar Jar Binks. If Jar Jar Binks does not perform any actions during its activation, choose another unit at range one of Jar Jar Binks to perform one free action.
If
It's not very
this was
good.
like printed on his card, I could see it because it's basically like guidance, but you know, at the expense of his entire activation. The fact that it's on a command card is, I don't know.
Yeah, not great.
Seems not great.
Yep. But he's doing nothing.
That's
So,
thematic. Yeah.
yep. His two pip is Miza, your humble servant. It's one trooper. After a unit with a face up order token activates, Jar Jar Binks may perform the same non-attack actions that activated unit performed. So, like, could you guidance a unit with Jar Jar Binks if, like, if Yoda's got a face up and he guidance or something, I think you could, right?
I
Maybe.
think so. I'm struggling to see how this would be. Because Legion doesn't really, you know, it's not like Shatterpoint or MCP, where each unit has its own set of like unique, possibly highly ridiculous abilities. And it's not like this allows you to duplicate a command card, right?
Sure.
Legion kind of works around like there's like a structured set of actions that each unit is allowed to take. And just based on what keywords and stuff they have, they just do them a little bit differently. So a card like this doesn't strike me as like super useful in Legion, where you're basically just copying, you know, a move or an attack or a dodge or whatever. I don't know. It's an interesting concept. If this was like allowing him to duplicate a command card or something, that would be, well, you would have scaling problems probably. But it would certainly, this feels like a very generic, like, he can already sort of probably take most of the same actions that any other unit can take, except for with a couple of narrow exceptions like guidance and like quick thinking, you know.
That's fair. That's fair.
But
I feel like that card could get broken, but we'll have to figure it out, I think.
potentially, if there gets to be more like unique unit card actions, then I could see it.
His three pip, definitely his best card. Bombad General. It just gives an order to Jar Jar Binks, and Jar Jar Binks gains Exemplar. So if he's partnered with Padme, you now have two Exemplar units that have teamwork.
Yep.
which seems really good. And after Jar Jar Binks activates, each unit at range one of him gains one suppression token. For each friendly unit that gained a suppression token in this way, Jar Jar Binks gains one surge token.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like General Kenobi, right? All your units surge for whatever turn you play this.
In addition to like every time you take an aim action, you get like two aims, and they're both exemplar. It seems really good.
All right. Move on from Jar Jar. All right, last one.
Man, the
This thing is.
IG-227 Hailfire droid. Wheelie boy.
Yep, these things are really cool looking.
Like, I'm glad we got them right now, because the fact that they previewed crab droids before these guys is criminal.
I agree. Yeah, these things are actually in a movie. And they also look awesome.
Yes.
Not that crab droids don't look awesome, but they're crabs.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, you want to read it?
Yep. So it's 85 points. It's got a comm slot and two ordnance slots. And it actually has its own special ordnance that we'll get to in a minute. It's got AI move, agile 1, armor 2, arsenal 3. So presumably it can fire both its ordnances along with its twin auto blasters, which are 4 black at range 2. And then it's got outmaneuver. In a new keyword we haven't seen before, which is perpetual motion. Before or after this unit activates, perform a compulsory move. Which I assume is just basically like putting the compulsory move in there without allowing it to like speed over things with speeder, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically speeder without the ability to move over stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Also, awesome name for a keyword. It's got 8 health. It is a ground vehicle, and it has 6 resilience, and it looks like a white save on the die. Speed 3, very fast.
Very fast.
And it looks like we've got some more exhaustible upgrades here. So the Hailfire missiles are an exhaustible range 2-4, 2 red, 2 black upgrade, and they're 14 points, and the special text on this card says this unit may equip duplicates of this upgrade card.
Yeah, so you can take 2 of them.
Yep. It's also got fixed front, blast, and impact 2. So if you're taking 2 of these things, I guess this unit at that point is 28 plus 85 is like, what, like 113?
111. No, you're right. 113. Sorry.
Okay. You're good. And that's like a 4 red, 4 black blast pool at range 4. It's pretty good. And because you've got like a free compulsory move every turn, you definitely can like
recover, shoot.
I guess if you're triggering AI, you won't be able to recover probably, but
yeah, I mean, you'd want to either override or have an order available for these guys.
I do think it's hilarious that if these guys don't have an order, they're forced to move twice every turn.
I mean, that's no different from saps, right?
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. Saps are a little easier to get orders on, I feel like, but...
Sure, yeah. And presumably these guys are on a much larger base, which makes them harder to move around.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge in the movies. I'm really, really pumped to see their model card, for sure. Or not their model card, they're like their model.
It's like a sideways occupier base.
Yeah.
Is that big enough?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it would, I would expect it to be more on like a Gav okay. base, I think.
Isn't that the same thing? The Gav occupier tank?
Sorry. I didn't mean the Gav. I meant the Saber tank.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. And that does have notches on all the sides.
So. It does. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
For sure.
Seems good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it.
What was that other slide?
That was a stock slide that I forgot to delete.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Look, Mike, it's been a while since I've used PowerPoint.
Yeah, it was funny. We were getting this ready today because all these previews are super dope. And God, I was like, I haven't used PowerPoint. And... years.
Yeah. It's like college, basically, probably.
Man, really? You haven't done a PowerPoint since college?
No, I've definitely done one more recently. It's just, it's not a thing that I use very often. Let's put it that way.
Okay, fair enough.
So, all right. Any final thoughts?
Bright future for Legion. You know, a lot of cool stuff. You know. So really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Enjoy the rest of what remains of your April 1st.
Yep.
All right, we're the Notorious Scouts.
And I'm with
Stay Fresh, she's back.